Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called You've Got to Get Connected.
Number three, here's the third one. The third metaphor is a vegetable or a tree metaphor. It's like being attached to a vine. He says that being spiritually connected, Jesus says, he's trying to explain it to us. He says it's like being attached to a vine, like a grapevine or a tomato vine or, any other kind of vine, a fig vine on a tree, things like that. Now, it's interesting that Jesus, right before he goes to the cross, you figure whatever he's going to say to the people who are following him right before he goes to the cross is going to be most important. And he says this in John 14, 15, and 16. He's giving his last minute instructions to the people who are following him. And of all the things he could tell them, here's what he says. Live in me, and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. He's saying, now, this is so important. Not only do you need the support, like in a building, and not only do you need the lifeblood, like being in a body, he's saying, you're not going to have any fruitfulness, any productivity in your life if you're out there on your own. You've got to stay connected. You've got to stay connected. Look at this next verse on the back of your outline. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirit. That's that connection. He joins himself to our spirit to declare that we are God's children. You say, I don't get that. Listen, when this happens to you, when you experience a spiritual connection for the first time, you know it. And all of a sudden, God no longer is some distant idea. You know God is real. There's not an atheist in the world who convinced me that God isn't real. Why? Because I talked to him. I just talked to him a couple minutes ago. I talked to him just like I'm talking to you. I've been a friend with Jesus Christ now for well over 40 years. Nothing could sway me of that. Why? Because I have a connection. It's not just about what the Bible says. It's not just what happens in the church. I have a connection to Christ. And that connection is so real. And I want you to have that kind of connection to God. It is the deepest prayer of my heart as your pastor and as somebody who loves you, that you will have that connection that you go, whoa, there's no way I could not believe in God. I'm connected to him all the time. And I talk to him and he speaks to me and I hear him and I hear his voice, not in an audible way. God doesn't have to do that. I mean, you know, we get radio signals and TV signals through the air and don't understand that. God doesn't have to visibly put a sign out there. So he's saying, I want you to be connected and I want you to be joined to me. And he says, a disconnected branch, write this down, can't bear fruit. In plants, a disconnected branch can't bear fruit. You not only don't have the support, you not only start to wither and die, but you don't have any productivity in your life if you're not spiritually connected. He says, you got to be connected to have fruit. You know, I grow vegetables every spring, and I grow a lot of plants and fruit and all kinds of stuff. You know, if I cut them off, obviously, those branches aren't going to produce any tomatoes or anything else. All the different kinds of peppers. They've got to be connected in order to produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Up here on the screen. The fruit of the Spirit is this. There are 9 qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be more loving. I'd like to be more joyful. I'd like to be more at peace no matter what happens to the economy. I'd like to be more kind to people who are mean to me. I'd like to be a good person, not a bad or an evil person. I want to be faithful, not unfaithful. I want to keep my promises. I'd like to be gentle when people are not very gentle and they're rude and crude and coarse. And I'd like to have more self-control. He says that's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's the point. The evidence that you are spiritually connected is you see those nine things in your life. If you are not seeing yourself grow in love and more joy and more peace and more patience and kindness and more self-control and more all these things, guess what? It means you're not spiritually connected. Because he says when you're connected, you're going to bear fruit. And the mark that you're not connected is you're cut off. Somehow you got disconnected from God and you got disconnected from the body and you got disconnected from the plant. And he says, I'm the vine and you're the branch. He says, that's what it's all about. Any fruit in your life? Some of you are fruit cakes. Some of you are fruit loops. Sometimes we're all a little tutti frutti. But he's talking about this kind of spiritual fruit in your life. Now he gives us the fourth one. And really, this is just a setup for where we're going in the weeks ahead. Being spiritually connected is like being born into a family. That's the fourth metaphor. God says, I want you to understand how important this is to be spiritually connected to a body, to a building, to a branch. He says, and to being a baby born into a family. Now this, of course, is my favorite description of the church, because it doesn't need any explanation. We are God's family. And you know, there's only two ways to get into a family. You either be born into it or you be adopted into it. Those are the two ways you get into a family. And you know what? In the Bible, God does both for you. It's called being born again and it's called being adopted into the family of God. God does them both. And the cool thing about it is in Roman law during the New Testament, you could disown a child that you birthed. But if you adopted a child, you were forbidden to ever disown them. And God says, you are not only born again into my family, but I have adopted you, and there is no way I could ever disown you. That's a good one. That's good news. You mean no matter what I do? No matter what you do. Once you're born, you cannot be unborn. Once you are born again, you cannot be unborn again. Now, you can grieve the father, just like when I was growing up, I often grieved my parents. And the fellowship was broken. But nothing I did could ever cause them to disown me, because even if they said, I disown you, which they wouldn't do, everybody knows I was still their child. Once you become a child in the family of God, you are in. Now notice this verse. We're God's family. 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. And then he tells us what that family is. God's family is the church. We are the family of God. Church is not something you go to. Church is something you belong to. You're welded in the building of the temple of God. You're grafted into the vine, in the tree of life. You're born again and adopted into the family of God. He's saying all these things. He said you're joined into the body of Christ. He said these are all connection models. What I want to do is I want to reposition Christianity in your mind. Most people think Christianity is a belief system. Well, there are beliefs involved in it. But you know what? It's more than that. It's a belong system. It's belonging to the family of God. It's being a part of the body of Christ. It's being built into God's temple, brick by brick. It's all of these connection terms. And he says it's like being born into a family. Look at this verse, Romans 15. You will all be joined together and you will give glory to God. Notice, being spiritually connected is how you give glory to God. You will all be joined together and you will give glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God. Now, we've talked about this before. Acceptance and approval are not the same thing. God accepts me no matter what I do. He does not approve of everything I do. Does that make sense? And the Bible says you are to accept everybody no matter what they do. It doesn't mean you are to approve of everything they do. Big difference. And the Bible says that acceptance is love. Approval is not love. Acceptance is love. He says, I will love you because my love isn't based on what you do. It's based on who I am. And that's why the Bible tells us that we are to love everyone. I am not allowed to hate anybody, no matter what they do or who they are. But it doesn't mean I have to approve of everything that they do or I do either. It's like being in a family. You don't approve of everything your sister did you? But I bet you loved her, or your brother, or your mother, or your son, or whatever. He says, it's like being born into a family. And he says, God gets glory when we love each other. Now, this phrase, each other, is used 58 times in the New Testament. And the Bible says, you've heard me talk about this, 58 times it says, love one another. It says, pray for one another. It says, care for one another. It says, serve one another. It says, greet one another. It says, help one another. It says, encourage one another. If you could do a whole Bible study through the New Testament and find those 58 one another's, those are your family responsibilities. Are you doing those? That's why you cannot be all God wants you to be without being in the family of God. Would you write this down? Somewhere on your paper there. I cannot fulfill God's purpose by myself. I cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life by myself. It is absolutely impossible because the number one thing God wants you to learn on life is how to love. Love Him and love other people. And that means you got to be with other people. You can't do it on your own. You just can't be a monastery monk or a guru up at the top of a mountain. You've got to be with other people because the most important thing is learning how to love. It's all about connections. And that's why in our church family, to be a member of Saddleback Church, we ask people to sign a covenant. And those of you who are members of Saddleback have signed the membership covenant. And you remember when you read that one thing that says, I promise to love the other people in my church family. Now, you don't have to like them, but you got to love them. You know, some people are kind of hard to like. Oh, anybody, you don't feel that way, right? Some people are hard to like, but you know what? You got to love them. What is love? Giving a person what they need, not what they deserve. That's love. Giving them what they need, not what they deserve. When people hurt you, guess what? It just means they're hurting. They're massively hurting themselves. So you give them what they need, not what they deserve. He says, being born into a family. So have you committed yourself to a spiritual family? You're not joined Saddleback, but just find one. There are hundreds of good spiritual families in South Orange County. We're not in competition with a single other church. We're all on the same team. In fact, many of the pastors of the other churches are my best friends. I've been in a small group with one group of pastors that started nearly 20 years ago. We're not in any competition with any other church. The competition with Saddleback Church is not other churches. It's recreation. Because on the weekend, they're not at our church or any other church. They're out wrecking creation. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the enemies. That's the competition. We want every church in Orange County could have 6,000 people, and we still wouldn't be reaching everybody. It'd be like two ants arguing over who's going to eat the elephant. Okay. You know, when I started Saddleback a long time ago, I went and I visited all the churches in the Saddleback Valley. And I added up all the number of chairs of every church and figured that if we filled every church three times on Sunday, we would still be reaching about 5% of the population. We want every church to grow. So just find a spiritual family. It doesn't have to be Saddleback. Saddleback may be too big. Or maybe you think I'm too ugly. I don't care. Just find a church and say, that's going to be my spiritual home, and get connected. Don't just attend. Get connected. There are plenty of good ones. You know, for centuries, because we are a family, Christians called each other brother and sister. And they talk about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. They did this for centuries until we just dropped it in the last generation. It's really funny because this week I called Joseph Lowry, and he's 87 years old. And on the phone, he kept calling me Brother Warren. Well, Brother Warren, how are you doing? I'm just doing fine, Brother Lowry. How's Sister Lowry doing? How's Sister Kay doing? There's nothing wrong with it. The Bible says we are brothers and sisters in the family of God. Maybe we ought to get back to calling each other brother and sister. Here's the point. A disconnected member feels unloved. A disconnected member feels unloved. Now, what does God want from us? And why are we going to do this series on getting spiritually connected? Well, because of this next verse. Let me read it to you. I beg you, brothers and sisters. There's the word. I beg you, brothers and sisters, to be completely joined together. That means really connected. Not just to God, but to each other. Be completely joined. Do you know what he's talking about here? The word for this is koinonia. And koinonia is the word for fellowship. It means being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. See, most people know John 3:16. They don't know 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know that verse. 1 John 3:16 says, and because Christ gave himself for us, we ought to give our lives for each other. Oh, we forget that part. That's being connected to our brothers and sisters in the family of God. I beg you, brothers and sisters, to be completely joined together by having the same kind of thinking and the same purpose. Would you circle purpose? And would you circle completely joined together? God says in that verse, I want you to be connected to each other on purpose. He says, I want you to be connected to each other with the same thought and the same purpose. We call that a purpose-driven connection. It's right there in the Bible. I beg you, brothers and sisters. He's not just asking for it. He says, I'm begging you. Be joined together. Be connected with the same kind of thinking and the same purpose. Now, let me just ask you one question. When this church family, of all the places you could live, God brought you here. When this church family has so much to offer to you, do you think God wants you to stay disconnected? No. And my question to you is this. Are you serious about making your life count? Because if you are, I will help you get there. What's the first step? Last verse on your outline. The Bible says this. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. This is the starting point. First, you gave your life to Jesus, and then you gave your life to a group of believers. That's the connection process. God, you're going to be my Lord, and this is going to be my church family. If not, find one. You're going to be my Lord, and this is going to be my church family. First, they gave themselves to God, and then they gave themselves to us in the will of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much that we don't have to go through life on our own, disconnected, alone, lonely, without friends, without you, without relationships, without love. Thank you that you made us to be connected, not just to you, but to each other. And today we want to be like that building where we support each other, that temple. We want to be like the body where we draw strength and nourishment and grow from each other. We want to be like the vine where we bear fruit because we're helping each other out. And we want to be like the family of God, where as brothers and sisters, we love each other through tough times and rejoice in the good times. Thank you that you said it is not good for people to be alone. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, would you pray this prayer? Jesus, I want to get to know you. I want to be spiritually connected to you, to your plan and purpose for my life, and to your family. And so tonight I take that first step of trust in you. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick at PastorRick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me. Pray for me and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.